And away we go, ladies and gentlemen. The Thursday edition of the Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Welcome in, my dudes and dudettes. Welcome in, amigos and amigas. Welcome in, Armada. It is great to have you once again. I am Rob Brown, back in the network studio, the guy in charge of all the buttons and switches and levers and gears and pulleys and ramps and simple machinery that keeps this show on the air, that keeps this station on the air. The guy that is, he's in charge of everything. The Alpha and the Omega of the Fan Upstate, the Sultan of Sound, the Professor of Perfection, the Wizard of Wave himself. Lonzo is here as well. Hello, Lonzo. Couldn't agree more.
Hello, Rob.
How's it going, bud? How was you? Did you enjoy your day off yesterday?
I did. I was unable to move really, so I basically vegged because moving hurt. But yeah, I'm much better today. Thank you for asking.
Lonzo left it all on the field on Tuesday night. Left it all on the field. Just left it out there like a champion with Scott Stapp and the boys.
Well, I blame you, but we'll wait for that.
I accept the blame. Yeah. We will talk about that. We are going to talk about that because I listen. I'll let Lonzo save his thoughts, save his stories for whenever he's ready to share them. I'm just going to tell you, time of my life. The boys were vibing, all right? We were buzzing, and I mean that multiple different ways. We left it all out there on Tuesday night.
Yeah, you know what you left out there is you left me out there.
Because,
I could turn you down. You know, most friends would go, hey, I'm going to be here at this time. Come over here with me, and we'll all go in together. And even though I was texting back and forth with you, you got in and left me out there for 3 hours when you could have said, hey, come with me. I mean, I get maybe you think
that I didn't have special treatment. We just went in a gate. I don't know why your gate took so much longer.
Well, here's the thing. You know, people were saying the line's back there. So we went back to the back of the line, which was on the other end of the Heritage Park. That's why it took 3 hours to get through. And so listening to everybody else, then you come back through and it's just a mass crowd in the beginning. If we would have stayed where we were instead of listening to other people, we would have been able to get in before you.
But unlike you, I was
recognized by a ton of people and I didn't want to look like that guy. But you didn't care about being that guy.
You strolled over
without waiting at all and went in. And you could have said, hey, we're here. Come on, let's go. And instead, you didn't. And I was stuck in the line for 3 hours. So I partially blame you.
Because
I have told you and I told a bunch of other people I have never been to anything like this. I've asked for help, for advice. You could have helped me out. You didn't help me out. I almost think you did it on purpose. I mean, did I get a lot of show prep out of it? Absolutely. I got a lot out of it. But I also am older and physically unable to do things that a lot of other people are doing. And now I'm more infirm because you didn't help me out. I mean, you know, I would have helped you out. I would have said, hey, I know we're not going to hang together when we get inside, but I'm here. Let's say hey to each other and go in the door together. But you didn't do that.
Okay.
So, I mean.
All right.
So, because of you, 3 hours. I stood in line 3 hours when I could have been in and in my seat.
Sir, a number of things here. Number one, I was unaware that any sort of catastrophe like that was happening. I don't know what to tell
really?
You.
Really? Because I have a string of texts that you actually responded to that you were, that you did know.
Yeah, after I was in.
And also your timeline is disparaging because I asked you, and you said you weren't there, and then later on you said, oh, we've been here and been in at a certain time. And so I get you weren't the most coherent. I get that. But still, I mean, you know, if we broke it down timeline wise, you could see that there was misinformation going on.
So can I share my side of the story now?
How you dissed a grandpa and left him out in the for 3 hours? Why, sure. You try to redeem yourself. I'm sure you'll do a good job at that.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, allow me to tell you what happened here. What happened here is that It was rainy leading up to the show. All right, it was rainy. There was lightning in the area, so everything kind of got pushed back and back and back. The doors to the event were supposed to open at 5, but there was lightning in the area. Well, me and a handful of the boys were hanging out in a backyard, imbibing, committing mild acts of debauchery together, just having a grand old time in what was, and yes, I will sound like a jerk coming off here, a private neighborhood, all right? It was just like we can just have anybody roll up in there. Not that Lonzo's just anybody before he jumps my butt here.
It's too late because you said, well, I'll talk to Keegan and see if he's okay with you coming up, and you never did.
No,
you never
that
did.
Is incorrect.
I asked you multiple times.
So
you
I
never
had to,
did.
You are not the only person that I could not invite to the house because we had X amount of spots to park cars, and there were a dozen of us that have put this thing together. You know what this is very similar to? Can I tell you the worst thing that I have ever had to do in my life?
Misdirecting.
The worst thing.
He's misdirecting.
I'm not. I'm trying to share my struggle right now, all right? The worst thing that I have ever had to do. I'm going to get this out, I swear. The worst thing I've ever had to do is power rank friends for wedding invitations. It's the worst thing I've ever had to do. The worst thing that's ever happened, okay? And so, this was just a smaller rock and roll version of that. At the end of the day, we had X amount of places to put cars, and we had a group of 12 people that have been working on this since, like, December last. I felt like a jerk. Don't think I didn't feel like a jerk not being able to go, hey, why don't you come park here with us? We were parking in front of neighbors' houses and knocking on doors going, please don't tow us. We were out of spots. So, let me tell you how this went down, folks. The doors were supposed to open at 5. The doors did not open up at 5. Instead, the first text from Lonzo came in at 7:37 p.m., which we were not in the building yet, okay? We hadn't even walked over because we couldn't get in. He said, hope this is worth the wait. I said, we've been drinking in the backyard for 4 hours now. It will be. All which was true. He said, are you here? I said, we're like 2 streets over. We're going to walk that way in a couple of minutes. Lonzo said, they're not letting anyone in yet. I said, a few minutes later, they just sent a Facebook invite saying, gates are open. He said, yes, open. It'll take a while. Are you in this line at 8:17? That was 40 minutes later. I responded at 8:17. Yeah, I'm in. I mean, we walked up, we walked in. I didn't know that there was some sort of quagmire going on the other side of the venue that created a situation where Lonzo had been in line since 7:37, and I walked up at 8:15 and was in at 8:17.
By the way, let me correct you. I was in line since 6:55.
That's worse. All right? So I don't know how I was supposed to know that I just walked up. I assumed when I walked up and just got in that Zoe was going to be back in there. Like, that he was going to be back in there. And that was it. Although he did drop the line, quote, epic rant incoming. So I'm pretty excited about that at some point. But
I do think it's already started because
you also said almost saw a fight, .. still might.
All right. So people are saying there's no sound on the stream, by the way.
Oh, well, that's very unfortunate.
It's also a you thing.
It is a me thing. Let me get that corrected.
Something else that you're to blame for.
Story of my life, dude. Story of my life. Let's, that's there. Now there should be sound on the stream, and there is. All right.
Good. So the radio audience heard me properly blame you.
They heard you say that one dirty word.
We all know that didn't happen. But the stream hasn't heard unless the dirty word is Rob Brown is my friend. Because, I mean, obviously he's not because he left me out there for 3 hours. And probably laughing the whole time. You guys probably all, this is probably all a big thing. Ha ha, Lonzo's left out there 3 hours. We're in here on the lawn. We're having a good time. Ha ha, he's still out there showing my texts around everybody. Look at that crowd. He just showed you a text of 1,000 people in front of him. Ha ha, we're in here. He's not in here. He missed all of Switchfoot, which he... one of the main reasons why he was there. Got to hear him while he stood in line, but he didn't get to see him. Ha ha, we're in here, he's not.
Your ability to simultaneously make yourself the victim and me the villain in one sentence is beyond impressive. How are you painting me to be this Disney villain, this Gaston of this story, when I could not have known what was happening with you in that line?
I think here's the thing, and I think we're all seeing it, we're all hearing it. There's no remorse there. There's no, I feel bad about that. There is a laugh behind his speech, and you can hear it. So this was all perpetrated by Rob Brown and his group of 12 to make me suffer. And, you know, that's fine. You know,
it was like 16 because also P1 April found us with her.
Yeah, boo. But she's not in on this because she was already inside.
Oh, wait. No, yeah. No. Why is it? Why is she? She could have tweeted you and been like, where are you at? You can come in with her. No. It's just me. I'm the
She's a listener, and we love our listeners dearly, but you're supposed to be my friend.
Uh-huh,
so, I mean,
uh-huh,
you know, uh-huh. you are someone who knows a lot of the ailments that I have and why that was so difficult for me, especially, you know, halfway through the 3-hour wait. But, you know,
I'm just the worst.
And then there was a guy who jumped in front of the line probably 2 hours into it. Bald guy, if you're listening, you suck.
You suck.
And there got a younger man in front of me, probably in his mid-20s to early 30s, spoke out against said bald man. And the bald man turned around and said, I don't care. I'm merging the lines. And so then
merging the lines.
So then the younger man is being calmed down by his wife. He's still outspoken, as are other people in the crowd, and he's talking about how he's going to go up and take this guy out. And so luckily I'm behind him, not in front. So I had a
Wait,
good
were
view.
Were there lines to be merged, or was this just one
oh,
jackass?
No,
being
no
a
guy
jackass.
Just walked up and said, you know, he considered himself a line.
Mm-hmm.
And he merged.
Okay.
He and the people he's with, they just merged. So that didn't calm down for like an hour. There was back and forth. There were mean looks. There was, I can take that guy speech going on. And I was just waiting for that to happen. Then when we get up.
For the record, That guy should have caught hands.
So then an hour later, when we get up and find out that we didn't have to stand in that crowd the entire time, we could have just walked up and melded with the throng of people.
You gotta merge the lines.
Anyway, so we get up there, and I'm listening to the guys behind me. It's like, yeah, I took 5 milliliters. Like, why'd you do that, man? You're going to die. And then the other guy's like, nah, man, I've done that before. He said, it's okay. It was European measurements.
So, first off.
European measurements. I don't even know what that means. And it's like, okay. And then they started talking about all these drugs that they had taken. And then they were talking about how Switchfoot sucks. And it's just like, it's like, okay. And then partway through the line, as we're finally near, we can see the gates. Cameron loses service, which his Ticketmaster is on his service, which a lot of people did.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, you know, 5 more minutes, probably we're going to be up there, and I can't get to the tickets. I'm like, dude, it's okay. We'll just go home. I mean, it's not your fault. If we can't get them up, to the tickets, they ain't going to let us in. And there's other people in the line holding their phone up above the crowd. And at first I thought, okay, they're taking pictures. No, they were trying to find service. And finally I was like, Cameron, turn your phone off, turn it back on, see if it works. And it worked. And I was like, keep your finger on the phone. Do not let it go dark again, which he did. And so we were good. Another guy walked up who I don't think was from around here, had a Jersey accent, pretty sure. And he's like, I've shut mine down 3 times. I can't get it. And I've been standing near the front of the line. And I can't go in.
All right, so.
And then you get in the venue. No, I'm not done yet.
There's more.
So we get in the venue. After we wade through the throngs of people, I don't think they were. Definitely the venue was not prepared for that amount of people.
Oh, yeah, it was packed.
They were not prepared for that amount of people. And so when you meander through because we were late getting in, meander through the lawn seats to get down to where our seats were, lots of, hey, Lonzo. It's like, hey. Man, everybody knows me. It's weird.
The price of fame.
I better not act up. Anyway, so like jumping in front of people in line, because, I mean, that would be acting up to me.
Merging the line.
Yeah. Or doing a Rob Brown and just going up, hey, do you know who I am, and walking in. So
do not put the
I think we all know.
No, girl. No.
I think we all know.
No. That ain't what happened. What happened is I went to the outside gate, and we just strolled in. That's why I'm so confused by all the, how this is my fault.
I even sent you a picture of all the people in front of me. Anyway, so it didn't go through because of service. It may have gone through by now. If not, I'll show it to you.
I still have not gotten it for the record.
Yeah, all right, I'll send it again here in a minute. So so then we sit down. There's an old guy, as Cameron dubbed him, Fat Willie Nelson, who was sitting next to us, who just decided to fire one up. Right, so everything that I've heard about rock and roll crowds, absolutely true. So he's sitting there smoking a joint right in the middle of the thing.
And, allegedly.
Oh,
allegedly.
No, there's no allegedly.
Allegedly.
There's no allegedly. And then behind us, a guy starts to fight with a guy who's in handicap seats and says, I'm going to call security. And then the handicap seat guy said, okay, I'm calling security. So they called security over there.
Security
there,
off.
There was a, which was an old man who had got his butt beat. And so they're fighting back and not fighting. They're arguing back and forth. And it sounds like it's about to come to fisticuffs behind me. And I've seen enough stadium fights to know that that's going to spill over to me. And so I have to turn around and make sure that we're good and can get out of the way, or have to participate in a fracas, whatever. And then that dude disappeared. And the security came over a couple other times, talked to dude in handicap seats, who was very loud. This is right before everything started. And so the band was good. The one band I got to see was good, except for there were some missed notes and things like that. But I'm sure you probably didn't notice. I was a little disappointed in Tremonti. He missed some things a couple times, and I think maybe his hands were just sweaty because, as Scott Stapp pointed out, it's very hot. It was very hot, and I was worried about him collapsing. At one point, he starts singing, and his in-ear monitors must have been working good because he didn't realize that his voice wasn't working. And then finally, they turned his voice up. It was right at the beginning of the song. I forget which song. You probably didn't notice that either, but it definitely happened. The music was great. The band was good. The one band, Switchfoot, sounded good too, even though I didn't get to see him. You did, because you dissed me and I didn't get in to see him. But the overall experience is pretty much exactly what I expected, and why I'll never go to another rock concert. Especially one that Rob's there at.
Wow. Well, I guess that's what I get for, quote, dissing a grandpa, end quote.
Well, no one's surprised with your ageism. I mean, you think with our personal connection, you could get past that, but apparently
what
not.
What did you want me to do? I don't run the place.
Hey, we're here. Let's meet up before we go in.
You had been there for 40 minutes before me. I assumed you were in. I did not know you weren't in until I was in. That's why I text you when I'm in. I'm like, where are you at? You're like, I'm still in line. It's like, how the hell was I supposed to know that? You beat me here by 40 minutes. I should not be in before you.
Actually,
that's not on me.
By like an hour and 40 minutes.
Whatever.
Probably.
You beat me by the whole day.
Your story's changing already. So, I mean, listen, it's partially your fault. A lot of it's your fault. Not all of it, but most of it. And then the rest of it was exactly what I expected.
Well, as apparently I have not committed a heel turn.
My pastor, who kept me away from these things because she said these things would happen, was absolutely right. And
what bad happened? Nothing bad happened to you. You came out just fine.
I told you an entire story
outside
of things.
No. Outside of waiting in a line, nothing bad happened to you.
Okay,
you're fine.
Drug deal behind me, fights all around me. The fact that when we left.
You said almost fights. You didn't say anybody was throwing fists to ghosts.
Yeah, you're right. I don't, if I go to a Christian concert, I don't get that, okay? If I go to Comic-Con, I don't get that, okay? I don't have to worry about that. As we left, some guy left ahead of us. Oh, yeah, my car almost got stuck, which I knew was about to happen when they parked me in the grass. And it did get stuck, but I got it out because I'm skilled. But I almost didn't. And then the drunk guy in front of us weaving all over the road, and trying to find his exit and pleading, please don't go to our exit, which he did. And then it's like, please go to McDonald's. Please have the munchies or something. Go to McDonald's. And he went to McDonald's, and then we were safe. There's just so many things that happened. And this is not an old man complaints, which I'm sure Rob was about to go. But when he does, it will prove his ageism. So, of course, he's not going to fall into that trap. Creed still has it. I will say that.
Green still got it.
They still got it.
That's true. I did all of the rest of it aside, all stuff, nothing I could have done. That was awesome. Can't wait. I did it again last night in Charlotte. Last night I did go see it as like a musician, not as a 2003 frat boy like I did on Tuesday night. Had a great damn time both times. Creed's awesome. They rocked. By the way, if they're like on the tour bus right now, like getting out of town, Scott Stapp, Tremonti, Brian Marshall, Choctahatchee High School, shout out. Did I tell you I went to school with their basis, Brian Marshall? I don't know if I mentioned that or not. Good dude. Good guy. Call into the show, 844-326-3663. We'll talk Creed. All right, when we come back here in just a minute, we'll put all of that in the back, that secular rock and roll show that was. And when we come back, let's talk some ACC football. I need your help. I got to turn in my ACC preseason ballot today, so I'm going to let you guys help me fill it out. That's coming up next on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. From Charlotte, North Carolina. That's where you can find us as ACC Media Days wrapping up this afternoon. It is Clemson Day. We will have the coaching staff and some of the players from Los Tigres here this afternoon. I will tell you that I am scheduled as it stands right now at 1:30 this afternoon to sit down with Cade Klubnik, the starting quarterback of the Clemson Tigers, and then right after we are done with Cade, we will have Dabo Swinney sitting right over there. We'll talk to Dabo for a few minutes as well. One-on-one, we'll take those interviews. I will forward them over to Cole Bryson and Diesel. They will air those for you on Wire to Wire with Cole and Diesel this afternoon. And then Lonzo and I, who are off tomorrow, will return on Monday, and we will replay those interviews and give you our thoughts on those. So make sure you stay paying attention to the Fan Upstate on social media, at the Fan Upstate on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, and the same at the Rob Brown Show on Facebook, on Instagram, and on Twitter, so you can be up to date, well, up to the minute with what's going on here at ACC Media Days in Charlotte, North Carolina. So, we have talked quite a bit of ACC ball so far this week. We will continue to do so. One of the things that I have got to do today, as we wrap up the show, one of the things that I have to do today is I have got to submit our preseason awards ballot for the ACC media. All credentialed media here at this event have been asked to submit a preseason awards ballot. This awards ballot is going to allow us to pick the best quarterback in the conference this year. It is going to allow us to pick the best running back. It is going to put together the all ACC team. Then we will select for the ACC's player of the year. We will also select our predicted order of finish in the conference. And I will tell you, and this is going to sound sarcastic, it is not meant to be, I consider this a tremendous responsibility. Like, I really do. This is not something that I take lightly. It's like every year you get one of the media days and you'll have something where it's like the media has voted the predicted order to finish in the Southeastern Conference and Vanderbilt received a vote. Like, all right. Like, to me, I think that guy should have his media credentials revoked. Honestly. Like, I think that is, even if you're a Vandy guy covering that for Vandy, I think you should have your credentials revoked. I to me, there's something that is, I don't know, it is a responsibility that I hold in order to do this. So, with that being said, what is your predicted order of finish in the Atlantic Coast Conference? And let's start with the top. Let's start with the top. Who's winning this thing? We have gone back and forth all week long and discussed the contenders. I think the contenders right now, great one, are Florida State, are Clemson, are Miami as the top three. I think there is a second tier of contenders, teams that they'll need some breaks. and they'll need some other teams to have some breaks go against them. I think that second tier of contenders is Louisville. Oh, that wasn't good enough. Louisville. You need Louisville in there. I would say SMU is in there. I would say NC State is in there. And I would probably put Virginia Tech into that second tier. Those are teams that I think, again, they'll need some breaks, and they'll need the top to beat itself up a little bit. But outside of that, you know, they're going to be fighting for second.
All right, how do you get into Rob Brown's top tier? What kind of team gets into Rob Brown's top tier? Curious.
First off, to me, depth is wildly important. I'm looking at teams that have cultivated a larger pool of talent, and this is one of the reasons that I think that, and let's start with looking at Clemson in that regard. I think Clemson the last couple of years has, especially offensively, had a bit of an issue with depth, right? It's like anytime one guy steps up, say at wide receiver, and defenses start to cater to that guy, there's not that next guy. It doesn't feel like that next guy is there. I think Clemson has done a better job. I think, as we've mentioned, that running back room is going to be depth this year. Is going to have depth this year. I think it is going to be good. I think defensively, this team should be very good. But, and you and I have joked for the last couple of years, great one, that, 2 years ago, maybe last year, I don't remember, there was a particular radio show host that was going on and on about how this defense is going to be legendary, historic. This is going to be a defense we're talking about for decades from now. And it was good, but it wasn't good enough. Like, it was good. I think this year, and I'm not ready to say it's going to be legendary, it's going to be historic, it's going to be something we've never seen before, but I do think it is going to be very, very good. So I'm willing to put Clemson in there because of the defensive depth that they have generated. And second off, I just got to be able to trust you on offense, right? I got to be able to trust you on offense. I know that I can trust Phil Mafa. If nothing else, I know this year, unless something changed this offseason, and I've got no reason to believe that it did, I am comfortable saying I trust Clemson's ability to run the ball this year. And I think we saw that out of Moffitt in that bowl game last year. I think we saw it down the stretch. We have seen spots when Will Shipley had to check out of the game for whatever reason. We have seen spots where Phil Moffitt went in and kind of played the role of workhorse. I've got to have that. And I think you do get that out of the big man, out of the backfield. I think in tough spots, and this might be, I don't want to say this is dramatically different from the last couple of years, but I do think it's something that Clemson can lean on this year, Lonzo. I think I can trust them to run the ball in tough situations. In the last couple of years, as much as I love Will Shipley, and I do because he was an all-around playmaker, an all-around yardage generator, there were spots where if I needed a yard and a half, 2 yards, and they were up against a top-flight defense, a Florida State from last year, those teams could start to stack the box, and I don't think Clemson was going to be able to force the issue. I think they can with Phil Mafa and an offensive line that's got a little bit more XP behind it this year. I feel like I can, regardless of how you feel about Cade Klubnik, I feel like I can trust a gut-check Clemson offense in the most high-pressure games this year, and I did not feel like that last year.
For years on this radio station, I have said that Clemson was the ACC. They're not that. They haven't been for the last couple years. I think it's Florida State, and I'm still trying to figure out, and it can happen, I suppose, how Clemson made that step back to where they used to be this offseason, because they weren't there last year. They weren't there the year before. Has the rest of the ACC went down, or has Clemson found their form? I guess we'll see, but I don't believe till I see how they compete with Georgia, till I see what they do against other teams in the ACC. And right now, they've had too many losses the last couple of years. And until they prove me wrong, I don't believe in them the way you do. I do believe in the defense. I agree. I don't believe in the offense.
I think the defense is going to be legitimate. Are they going to be historic? I'm not ready to say that. Are they going to be one we're talking about for X amount of years down the road? I'm not ready to say that. What I am ready to say is, just on paper alone, this defense should be able to slow down most teams that they come up against. I looked yesterday, and for those of you that watch the stream, you know I've got multiple different magazines that I'm looking through, and I've got the different previews, and obviously I've done my own as far as what I think and where. I think that I am going to go. I think I'm going to go here, great one. I think I'm going to pick Florida State to win the conference as well. And that's question number one, is how are we ranking these teams in conference? I think I'm going to start with Florida State. Let's be real clear about one thing. If I'm wrong about this and Florida State doesn't win the conference, it's we all know they're reloading, right? Like Johnny Wilson's gone, Keon Coleman is gone, Trey Benson is gone, good chunk of their offensive line is gone. This is a team that Mike Norvell is going to show that he's either a portal wizard or he's not, right? Like if you look at this team when they get going in the fall, if you look down and you look at some of the wide receivers that have come in and are trying to take over, and they do it and they're successful, Mike Norvell, I think, will change the paradigm of coaches looking at the portal. And how ironic would it be for Florida State to take the ACC's crown off of Dabo and put it on Mike Norvell for being the anti-Dabo, right? Like, Dabo's the only team not to use a portal player. Florida State is built on portal players right now. Nice sense of irony there. But I do think that Florida State has got talent that runs a little bit deeper than Clemson does, even with the portal players being a foundation. Let's keep talking ACC ball when we come back. We got a lot to get to today. Rob Brown, Lonzo, and you. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It's the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show continues. It's the Fan Upstate, live from Charlotte, North Carolina, the home of this year's ACC Media Days. We are wrapping up our coverage today. I will be here through the remainder of the morning and into the early afternoon as the Clemson Tigers will wrap up ACC Media today. Media Days today. We will have Cade Klubnik on the show this afternoon. We will have We will have an interview with Cade Klubnik and Dabo Swinney this afternoon. We will then bring you those interviews this afternoon on Wire to Wire. Lonzo and I are off tomorrow. We'll return to you on Monday, and we will have a replay of those interviews Monday morning as well with our thoughts and whatnot. We're talking about the ACC, and we're putting them in order right now. There is one team that I think is going to be very, very interesting, and that's the Miami Hurricanes this year. I'm actually really intrigued by Miami. By the way, I do want to tell you, the phone lines are open at 844-326-3663, 844-FANFONE. And the text line is now up at 71307, 71307. That is the renewal by Anderson to the Carolinas fan phone, 844-326-3663. And the text line is 71307, 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N. We have got Spartanburg Jay, who has texted the show, said, Rob, your ACC ranking predictions, number one, Clemson, number two, FSU, number three, Miami, number four, NC State, then everyone else. Texter said, Rob, you should have been waiting to meet Lonzo with arms wide open. See, because that's a Creed song. That's a Creed song. I would, but Lonzo doesn't like to hug.
Yeah, but I've actually hugged Rob before.
He has. So, he has. So. One time.
And if he would have stopped me from having to wait for 3 hours, I probably would have hugged him then. But, you know, we'll never know, will we?
Texter said, typical ice snob behavior. Okay. All right. Listen, just because I know that crushed ice is the best ice and any other ice is inferior ice doesn't make me an ice snob. It means I have a nice preference. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Texas said, Rob, you hung Lonzo out to dry, and that's the bottom line. It's not. I didn't hang him out to dry. None of us were dry. That was the problem. We were all out in the rain together. I just happened to pick the right line. I don't know what to tell you. That's not on my fault. I didn't do that, all right? I will say this. Texter said, Rob, how was Creed? There is only one thing Lonzo and I agree with, which was Creed was awesome, all right? Creed was awesome. It was awesome. It was everything you wanted it to be. So nice I saw him twice because I saw him again last night in Charlotte, and it was just as good. It was just as good.
Which performance was better?
I'm going to need you to define what you mean by better. In terms of, because I'll be real, Tuesday night was just the boys were vibing. Like, it was just a throwback to fraternity boy Rob, and it was spectacular, spectacular. Last night, I went with the drummer from my band who lives up in Charlotte now, and it was a much more of like an analytical listen to Creed. And I thought they were great, man. Like
which was my listen to Creed also. It makes you miss being on the stage, seeing how much fun they're having.
Yes,
for sure.
I will say this. They are either some of the best actors in the world, or you can tell that they are thrilled to be back in the game. It's one of the two. They are either some of the best actors ever assembled, or they were vibing.
I am still trying to. I wonder what Scott Stapp was going to say that would have got him in trouble. I'm going to stop right now before I say something that gets me in trouble. And I'm wondering what he was going to say.
Last night he did a. There was one spot last night before they played a song where it got interesting because he said there were. I'll tell you what. The amphitheater last night, PNC Pavilion, just north of Charlotte, is freaking huge. Have you been there before? Have you seen a show there yet?
No, and I probably will never after last week. Yeah,
it's huge. He claimed there were over 19,000 people there last night, and I believe it. I believe it. It was insane. I had no idea how big it was, but he said, you know, there's 19,000 of us here all together, all on the same page, and I think we could probably, this group, teach a thing or two to the folks that are having a political rally not too far from here. And you could tell that despite the message he was trying to send, he split the crowd pretty much right down the middle in that moment. And there was a small exodus of people who walked out of the show when he said that. Fine by me. I got closer to the stage. And I think that was probably what he was going to do and realized there's a way to say, let's build on this moment, on this unity, on what brings us together. But when you mentioned a particular political rally that happened to be happening the same night a few miles away and make it sound as if that's the problem, my bet it was probably going down that particular path.
Probably wouldn't have went over as well here as it did there.
Bingo.
Yes.
That's why I think he did what he did and said what he said. Texas said, Rob, name drop one more time the basis of Creed that you went to school with. That's from Scotty and BMW. Don't mind if I do, Scotty. Brian Marshall from Creed. Their basis? Went to high school with him. Great guy.
Well, Scotty, you didn't receive a text like I did and while they were featuring him on the screens at the amphitheater.
Sure did. Sure did. I texted Lonzo, and I think Lonzo was mad at me at that point because I got the one-word passive-aggressive response text at that point. So I was like, oh, he's mad at me.
No, that was a joke.
Yeah. Also got a text, Lonzo, that says, and I quote, hello? Question mark. So that's fun. Hello. Good morning. Thanks for texting.
Oh, hello. Yeah. Hello. If it was early enough, it might have been when the sound wasn't on stream.
That's fair. That's fair. All right, so we're talking ACC ball here. There is one team.
No love for SMU. I'm noticing that. So no one respects the fact of what they did last year in another conference.
So I have them in that second tier, right? Like, and I think, again, I think by the end of this year, some of y'all are going to know the name Preston Stone.
By the way, SMU has an easier path to the ACC championship than Clemson does.
I agree. And Florida State, for the record. Of those three, I think SMU has the easiest path to the ACC title game. We talked about this a couple of days ago. Lonzo pointed that out, and I'm like, ah, let me go check that out. And he is spot-on accurate. SMU has arguably the easiest path to get there. Their opening four are Nevada, Houston Christian, BYU, TCU. Obviously, TCU is not the team that was there a few years ago. BYU has got some dogs. They got some athletes. That won't be an easy game, but it is at home. Then they've got FSU at Louisville, at Stanford, at Duke. If you've got to go on a three-game road swing in your first year in the ACC, having two of those three be Stanford and Duke, I'll tell you right now, I'm interested in Louisville too. Louisville under Jeff Brohm, I think, puts up some points this year. But I'm putting SMU into that second tier of ACC schools. Like, teams that can win it, but they will need some breaks. If SMU can snipe Florida State, remember FSU's got to go to Dallas, right? If SMU can snipe Florida State in, what is it, week five, that team could be very interesting. Preston Stone, their quarterback, had the chance to meet him the other day. Preston Stone is going to finish this year, I think so, statistically, as the second, maybe third best quarterback in this conference. Like, Grayson McCall is going to be up there. There's obviously questions about DJ Uiagalelei. Those are fair. There's questions about Cade Klubnik. Those are fair. But you've got Cam Ward, who I think is going to be up there at Miami. Grayson McCall is going to be up there from NC State. And Preston Stone. And I think those are the three best quarterbacks in this conference. So I think it's fair to say this show, is giving love to SMU. I will say I got some questions about their offensive line. I got some questions about their ability to block for Preston Stone. They do have a couple of pretty good players in Justin Osborne and Logan Parr, a couple of seniors that are going to be anchoring the right side of that line to kind of give Grayson McCall time. I am intrigued by SMU. I just think that talent-wise, starting 11 on both sides of the football, I think they're just a little bit behind Clemson and Florida State. I think they're going to have, honestly, of the three schools we have talked about here in this segment, I think Preston McCall is going to be the best out of him, Cade Klubnik, and DJ Uiagalelei. I think by the end of this year, y'all are going to know that name. But there is one more quarterback. I mentioned him just a second ago, and that is why the team he plays for, I am so very interested in, and that's Cam Ward and the Miami Hurricanes. This offense specifically, this offense has a, I'm going to use our favorite term of measurement here, buttload of skill positions, man. Like, they are good. In fact, I was going down and looking at a couple of the assembled all-ACC teams that have been put around by different media members. And there's Miami players everywhere, everywhere. You've got Damian Martinez, who is favored to be the best running back in the Atlantic Coast Conference. You've got Cam Ward. Cam Ward is being discussed as probably the preseason ACC quarterback of the year nominee. Remember that young man transferring in to Miami. You've got Xavier Restrepo, the wide receiver. That dude is a dog. You've got Jacoby George, the wide receiver. Miami's probably going three deep in terms of wide receivers that can make a difference. And oh, by the way, when you look at the media selected all ACC offensive line, all five Hurricanes are on the first three teams. All right, first, second, and third team all ACC, as I have discussed with the media here, and I expect you will see this when the all ACC rankings from the media come out in the next couple of days after we're done voting on it. There are Miami guys everywhere, man. Like, this team's interesting. But the reason I find Miami such a compelling team to talk about is because I think at this point, Mario Cristobal's legacy is a dude who is constantly surrounded by talent that he cannot maximize. Like, that's just his legacy at this point. He has got he's done it at Miami every year he's been there, right? And one of the reasons that I'm so hesitant about it is I am not over two seasons ago with Miami. Remember when Cristobal first showed up at Miami? that Miami team was supposed to be the team that brought them back to their previous glory, right? That this is why I have Miami listed in my group of teams that I'm absolutely sick of hearing them say, we're back. We're back. We're back. We're back. The U is back. The U is back. Like maybe. But we've seen it's been this ever since Cristobal showed up. And I go back three seasons ago to a Miami team that lost, what, like four of their first six or something like that, despite the fact that they were back. They dropped like four out of six, and that team quit. That team quit. And Lonzo will tell you know, I despise talking in intangibles. I don't like talking about stuff that I can't quantify and qualify, but I also understand human beings are emotional. And we react to things emotionally, and we gauge our behavior based on emotion. And so to say there's no place for it in the conversation is wrong. I go back to that first Miami team under Mario Cristobal, a team that was supposed to be back. We're it. And that team quit. And you could see that team quit. That team laid down. They just went through the motions to wrap up the season as soon as they got bounced from contention. And I don't know how I can get behind somebody that lets that happen to a team, right? I don't know how I can get, and this wasn't a matter of they had a bunch of you know, NFL first round draft picks that quit so they could go get ready for the NFL. They didn't. They were out there. They just stopped playing. They just laid it down. And yes, 3 years later, that's still kind of points in the direction of how I feel and why I feel about Miami the way I feel. Lonzo, if I was to tell you that every team in the Atlantic Coast Conference was going to perform at 100% efficiency, Miami would win this conference, hands down. If I could tell you for a fact that every team was going to play 100% to their skill level, the Miami Hurricanes would win this conference. And yet nobody believes that they will. That's where that team is right now, which is why you're not hearing them mention. Now, speaking of 100% effectiveness, a guy who operates at peak levels every time, it's Lonzo with a sports flash.
It's not going to work. I'm still mad. The Atlanta Braves have lost four consecutive games after a 9-4 loss to Cincinnati yesterday. Atlanta's offense did record double-digit hits, but Allen Winans was shelled for seven runs in just 2.2 innings of work, including a pair of Reds home runs. Atlanta saw the second of a doubleheader rained out. That will be made up later. And face the Mets in New York today. The Braves are now 9 behind Philadelphia, and Rob can now absolutely panic. Lamar Jackson missed 2 days of training camp and lasted just 1 hour at his first practice, according to reports. Jackson left the field moving slowly, and a team said he was ill, but expect Jackson to recover quickly after the team takes today off. Tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for our brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, a whole lot of fun, and it's all Wire to Wire.
The Rob Brown Show continues. It's the Fan Upstate live from Charlotte, North Carolina, the home of this year's ACC Media Days. We are wrapping up our coverage today. I will be here through the remainder of the morning and into the early afternoon as the Clemson Tigers will wrap up ACC Media Today. Media Days today. We will have Cade Klubnik on the show this afternoon. We will have have an interview with Cade Klubnik and Dabo Swinney this afternoon. We will then bring you those interviews this afternoon on Wire to Wire. Lonzo and I are off tomorrow. We'll return to you on Monday, and we will have a replay of those interviews Monday morning as well with our thoughts and whatnot. We're talking about the ACC, and we're putting them in order right now. There is one team that I think is going to be very, very interesting, and that's the Miami Hurricanes this year. I'm actually really intrigued by Miami. By the way, I do want to tell you, the phone lines are open at 844-326-3663, 844-FANFONE, and the text line is now up at 71307, 71307. That is the renewal by Anderson to the Carolinas fan phone, 844-326-3663, and the text line is 71307, 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N. We have got Spartanburg Jay, who has texted the show, said, Rob, your ACC ranking predictions, number one, Clemson, number two, FSU, number three, Miami, number four, NC State, then everyone else. Texter said, Rob, you should have been waiting to meet Lonzo with arms wide open. See, because that's a Creed song. That's a Creed song. I would, but Lonzo doesn't like to hug.
Yeah, but I've actually hugged Rob before.
He has. So, he has. One time.
And if he would have stopped me from having to wait for 3 hours, I probably would have hugged him then. But, you know, we'll never know, will we?
Texter said, typical ice snob behavior. Okay. All right. Listen, just because I know that crushed ice is the best ice and any other ice is inferior ice doesn't make me an ice snob. It means I have an ice preference, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Texter said, Rob, you hung Lonzo out to dry, and that's the bottom line. It's not. I didn't hang him out to dry. None of us were dry. That was the problem. We were all out in the rain together. I just happened to pick the right line. I don't know what to tell you. That's not on my fault. I didn't do that, all right? I will say this. Texter said, Rob, how was Creed? There is only one thing Lonzo and I agree with, which was Creed was awesome. All right? Creed was awesome. It was awesome. It was everything you wanted it to be. So nice I saw him twice because I saw him again last night in Charlotte, and it was just as good. It was just as good.
Which performance was better?
I'm going to need you to define what you mean by better in terms of – because I'll be real. Tuesday night was just the boys were vibing. Like, it was just a throwback – to fraternity boy Rob, and it was spectacular. Last night, I went with the drummer from my band who lives up in Charlotte now, and it was a much more of like an analytical listen to Creed. And I thought they were great, man. Like
which was my listen to Creed also. It makes you miss being on the stage, seeing how much fun they're having.
Yes,
for sure.
I will say this. They are either some of the best actors in the world, or you can tell that they are thrilled to be back in the game. It's one of the two. They are either some of the best actors ever assembled, or they were vibing.
I am still trying to – I wonder what Scott Stapp was going to say that would have got him in trouble. He said, I'm going to stop right now before I say something that gets me in trouble. And I'm wondering what he was going to say.
And last night he did a there was one spot last night before they played a song where it got interesting because he said there were I'll tell you what, the amphitheater last night, PNC Pavilion, just north of Charlotte, is freaking huge. Have you been there before? Have you seen a show there yet?
No, and I probably will never after last week. Yeah.
It's huge. He claimed there were over 19,000 people there last night, and I believe it. I believe it. It was insane. I had no idea how big it was. But he said, you know, there's 19,000 of us here all together, all on the same page. And I think we could probably, this group, teach a thing or two to the folks that are having a political rally not too far from here. And you could tell that despite the message he was trying to send, he split the crowd pretty much right down the middle in that moment. And there was a small exodus of people who walked out of the show when he said that. Fine by me. I got closer to the stage. And I think that was probably what he was going to do and realized there's a way to say, let's build on this moment, on this unity, on what brings us together. But when you mentioned a particular political rally that happened to be happening the same night a few miles away and make it sound as if that's the problem, my bet it was probably going down that particular path.
probably wouldn't have went over as well here as it did there.
Bingo.
Yes.
That's why I think he did what he did and said what he said. Texas said, Rob, name drop one more time the basis of Creed that you went to school with. That's from Scotty and BMW. Don't mind if I do, Scotty. Brian Marshall from Creed. Their basis, went to high school with him. Great guy.
Well, Scotty, you didn't receive a text like I did. And while they were featuring him on the screens at the amphitheater.
Sure did. I texted Lonzo, and I think Lonzo was mad at me at that point because I got the one-word passive-aggressive response text at that point. So I was like, oh, he's mad at me.
No, that was a joke.
Yeah. Also got a text, Lonzo, that says, and I quote, hello? Question mark. So that's fun. Hello. Good morning. Thanks for texting.
Oh, hello.
Yeah.
Hello. If it was early enough, it might have been when the sound wasn't on stream.
That's fair. All right, so we're talking ACC ball here. There is one team.
No love for SMU. I'm noticing that. So no one respects the fact of what they did last year in another conference.
So I have them in that second tier, right? Like, and I think, again, I think by the end of this year, some of y'all are going to know the name Preston Stone.
By the way, SMU has an easier path to the ACC championship than Clemson does.
I agree. And Florida State, for the record. Of those three, I think SMU has the easiest path to the ACC title game. We talked about this a couple of days ago. Lonzo pointed that out, and I'm like, ah, let me go check that out. And he is spot on accurate. SMU has arguably the easiest path to get there. Their opening four are Nevada, Houston Christian, BYU, TCU. Obviously, TCU is not the team that was there a few years ago. BYU has got some dogs. They got some athletes. That won't be an easy game, but it is at home. Then they've got FSU at Louisville, at Stanford, at Duke. If you've got to go on a three-game road swing in your first year in the ACC, having two of those three be Stanford and Duke. I'll tell you right now, I'm interested in Louisville, too. Louisville under Jeff Brohm, I think, puts up some points this year. But I'm putting SMU into that second tier of ACC schools. Like, teams that can win it, but they will need some breaks. If SMU can snipe Florida State, remember FSU's got to go to Dallas, right? If SMU can snipe Florida State in, what is it, week five, that team could be very interesting. Preston Stone, their quarterback, had the chance to meet him the other day. Preston Stone is going to finish this year, I think so, statistically, as the second, maybe third best quarterback in this conference. Like, Grayson McCall's going to be up there. There's obviously questions about DJ Uiagalelei. Those are fair. There's questions about Cade Klubnik. Those are fair. But you've got Cam Ward, who I think is going to be up there at Miami. Grayson McCall is going to be up there from NC State. And Preston Stone. And I think those are the three best quarterbacks in this conference. So I think it's fair to say this show, is giving love to SMU. I will say, I got some questions about their offensive line. I got some questions about their ability to block for Preston Stone. They do have a couple of pretty good players in Justin Osborne and Logan Parr, a couple of seniors that are going to be anchoring the right side of that line to kind of give Grayson McCall time. I am intrigued by SMU. I just think that talent-wise, starting 11 on both sides of the football, I think they're just a little bit behind Clemson and Florida State. I think they're going to have, honestly, of the three schools we have talked about here in this segment, I think Preston McCall is going to be the best out of him, Cade Klubnik, and DJ Uiagalelei. I think by the end of this year, y'all are going to know that name. But there is one more quarterback. I mentioned him just a second ago, and that is why the team he plays for, I am so very interested in, and that's Cam Ward and the Miami Hurricanes. This offense specifically, this offense has I'm going to use our favorite term of measurement here, buttload of skill positions, man. Like, they are good. In fact, I was going down and looking at a couple of the assembled all ACC teams that have been put around by different media members. And there's Miami players everywhere. You've got Damian Martinez, who is favored to be the best running back in the Atlantic Coast Conference. You've got Cam Ward. Cam Ward is being discussed as probably the preseason ACC quarterback of the year nominee. Remember that young man transferring in to Miami. You've got Xavier Restrepo, the wide receiver. That dude is a dog. You've got Jacoby George, the wide receiver. Miami's probably going three deep in terms of wide receivers that can make a difference. And, oh, by the way, when you look at the media-selected all-ACC offensive line, all five Hurricanes are on the first three teams, all right? First, second, and third team all-ACC. As I have discussed with the media here, and I expect you will see this when the all-ACC rankings from the media come out in the next couple of days after we're done voting on it, there are Miami guys everywhere, man. Like, this team's interesting. But the reason I find Miami such a compelling team to talk about is because I think at this point, Mario Cristobal's legacy is a dude who is constantly surrounded by talent that he cannot maximize. Like, that's just his legacy at this point. He has got he's done it at Miami every year he's been there, right? And one of the reasons that I'm so hesitant about it is I am not over two seasons ago with Miami. Remember when Cristobal first showed up at Miami? That Miami team was supposed to be the team that brought them back to their previous glory, right? This is why I have Miami listed in my group of teams that I'm absolutely sick of hearing them say, we're back. We're back. We're back. We're back. The U is back. The U is back. Like maybe. But we've seen it's been this ever since Cristobal showed up. And I go back three seasons ago to a Miami team that lost, what, like four of their first six or something like that, despite the fact that they were back. They dropped like four out of six, and that team quit. That team quit. And Lonzo will tell you know, I despise talking in intangibles. I don't like talking about stuff that I can't quantify and qualify, but I also understand human beings are emotional, and we react to things emotionally, and we gauge our behavior based on emotion. And so to say there's no place for it in the conversation is wrong. I go back to that first Miami team under Mario Cristobal, a team that was supposed to be back. We're it. And that team quit. And you could see that team quit. That team laid down. They just went through the motions to wrap up the season as soon as they got bounced from contention. And I don't know how I can get behind somebody that lets that happen to a team, right? I don't know how I can get, and this wasn't a matter of they had a bunch of you know, NFL first-round draft picks that quit so they could go get ready for the NFL. They didn't. They were out there. They just stopped playing. They just laid it down. And, yes, 3 years later, that still kind of points in the direction of how I feel and why I feel about Miami the way I feel. Lonzo, if I was to tell you that every team in the Atlantic Coast Conference was going to perform at 100% efficiency, Miami would win this conference, hands down. If I could tell you for a fact that every team was going to play 100% to their skill level, the Miami Hurricanes would win this conference. And yet nobody believes that they will. That's where that team is right now, which is why you're not hearing them mention. Now, speaking of 100% effectiveness, a guy who operates at peak levels every time, it's Lonzo with a Sports Flash.
It's not going to work. I'm still mad. The Atlanta Braves have lost four consecutive games after a 9-4 loss to Cincinnati yesterday. Atlanta's offense did record double-digit hits, but Allen Wynans was shelled for seven runs in just 2.2 innings of work, including a pair of Reds home runs. Atlanta saw the second of a doubleheader rained out. That will be made up later. And face the Mets in New York today. The Braves are now nine behind Philadelphia, and Rob can now absolutely panic. Lamar Jackson missed 2 days of training camp and lasted just 1 hour at his first practice, according to reports. Jackson left the field moving slowly, and a team said he was ill, but expect Jackson to recover quickly after the team takes today off. Tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for our brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, a whole lot of fun, and it's all Wire to Wire.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.